We begin with politics. Yesterday was day two of the filing period for candidates running for local office. Nobody officially filed to run, but two Chapel Hill residents announced plans to run for town council. UNC grad student Theodore Nollert made his announcement yesterday on 97.9 The Hill. You heard it on this show. And Renuka Soll issued her own candidacy statement as well. Nollert is on Chapel Hill's planning commission and recently wrapped up a term as UNC's grad student government president. Soll is on the board of North Carolinians Against Gun Violence and serves on Chapel Hill's Parks, Recreation, and Greenways Commission. She also ran for town council in 2019, finishing seventh. You can read comments from both candidates on our website, chapelborough.com. Both Nollert and Soll speak about addressing Chapel Hill's housing crunch, and there was a big development on that front yesterday. Orange County Habitat for Humanity announced they've just bought 11 acres of land off Rogers Road in Carrboro to build more affordable housing in the future. No timeline yet on when, but Orange Habitat made the purchase with the help of a $5 million donation received last year from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. Meanwhile, in Chatham County, the NNO is reporting another land purchase going in the opposite direction. R.B. Fitch just sold nearly 250 acres of undeveloped land near Farrington Village to the Triangle Land Conservancy so that land can be protected as a public nature preserve. Turning to crime news, Chapel Hill police say they've now surpassed 300 reports of vehicle break-ins already this year. That's up from 181 at this time last year. That includes one incident last week at an apartment complex on Hillsborough Street where 45 cars got broken into. An 18-year-old was arrested in that case. Police say most of the affected cars have been unlocked, so they're reminding residents again, if you want to prevent break-ins, keep your vehicles locked and valuables out of sight, or better yet, keep them out of the vehicle altogether. Now to the roads. Drivers on I-85 should get ready for more overnight closures in Hillsborough as work continues to repair the NC-86 bridge that was damaged by a collision back in May. State DOT officials say starting Thursday night, I-85 southbound will be closed at the 86 exit from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Traffic will be routed onto the exit and then right back on again on the other side of the bridge. 86 itself will be closed in both directions. Traffic detoured onto the interstate. That work is expected to last 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the town of Chapel Hill is still moving forward on plans for an 8-mile north-south bus rapid transit line that will eventually take passengers from Eubanks Road down to Southern Village. The cost of the project is still an issue, though, as the town council discussed last month. With the latest, here's 97.9 The Hill's Reagan Allen.
Chapel Hill says the north-south bus rapid transit project will create bus routes, sidewalks, and bike paths for safer and more efficient travel in the area. Beyond benefiting bus riders, the project will benefit pedestrians and cyclists by providing multi-use paths to allow different kinds of travel. The project will include 14 high-capacity BRT buses, which will arrive every 7 minutes at each stop. The project plans, however, will be more expensive than previous estimates, according to town staff. The increase over 2 years is around $40 million. While the town has some federal funding to cover the increase, they're still $16.6 million short. Brian Litchfield is the director for Chapel Hill Transit and spoke to the council about the financial changes to the project.
Over the last couple of years, there have been quite a few changes that have impacted costing, not only for construction and transit projects, but things that we experience in our everyday lives.
The last funding assumption was in 2021. Since then, the unexpected cost increases and inflation have financially impacted the project. Litchfield says this doesn't change the importance of the project or its necessity to the town.
As we talk about the BRT project, it's important to remember that while this is a transit project with transit goals, it's much bigger than that. All right, so this is an investment in priority project that's been a priority for well over a decade now for not only the town, but for the transit funding partners for Chapel Hill Transit and for our region.
The Chapel Hill Transit Manager, Caroline Dwyer, presented various options at the council meeting to maintain cost, efficiency, and the project's timeline.
There were four categories or components of the project that could reduce costs. So there was an option to revisit the vehicle technology. A few years back, the decision had been made to move to an all-electric fleet. We could substitute that by launching with the diesel buses and then building those electric vehicles back in.
Another option staff have decided on is to adjust the scope of the multi-use path in order to reduce funding. The path will now be planned for one side of MLK instead of both. They will also be seeking additional non-federal funding as the project progresses. As additional funding is granted, parts of the project will be restored.
We've landed on some options that, in our opinion, will provide us with the cost savings needed to keep the project moving forward. Also are flexible enough to reintroduce if we're able to.
Staff will be kicking off a community engagement process that will be in three phases. In early August, phase one will focus on getting preferences from the community about what people would like to see at the bus transit stops. Some ideas include bicycle storage or Wi-Fi access. The second phase will bring more specific drafts into the community for feedback, and the third phase will include the final design concepts. Right now, construction is planned to start in 2026, and in 2029, the project is planned to be completed. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Reagan Allen.
In Raleigh, Republican lawmakers may act soon to try to override Governor Roy Cooper's veto of three anti-LGBTQ bills, but here locally, residents are pushing back in support of the gay and transgender community. The three bills in question would ban transgender girls from playing women's sports, ban teachers from discussing LGBTQ people in early grades, require teachers to out trans students to their parents even without their consent, and ban transgender minors from receiving gender-affirming health care even when their parents want them to receive it. The ACLU of North Carolina has been lobbying against these bills, and the legislature may take legal action to try to block them if they pass. Christy Gronke is the ACLU's state legal director. She says the logic of the bills contradict each other.
The bills simultaneously claim that they are protecting parents' rights to choose for their children. At the same time, for example, the gender-affirming care ban will prevent parents and doctors from making decisions about their kids' health and will prevent kids from getting health care that they need. So there's a great hypocrisy and cruelty to these laws that don't even make sense when sort of measured against each other.
LGBTQ people are protected by the existing federal ban on sex discrimination, so Gronke says there may be a legal case there, and there could also be threats to freedom of speech and expression, including in the schools.
It's going to put educators in this minefield of situation where they're not allowed to discuss certain things with kids, where they're liable to disciplinary action if they do, and it's also going to encourage spying and reporting on teachers and students in a way that really starts to approximate some of the anti-democratic systems that we see around the world that we have heavily criticized.
Support for anti-LGBTQ bills is often tied to religious organizations, but some local churches are going the other way. Last month, the United Church of Chapel Hill voted unanimously to reaffirm and expand its earlier covenant to support the LGBTQ community. Here's Reverend Mary Elizabeth Hanchey on that decision.
The call to support the LGBTQIA community is simply the call to support people who identify as the people that God created them to be, people who join together in this covenant community. We believe, first and foremost, that God is love. We believe that God teaches us to love and creates us to be people who love. And we believe that the teachings of Jesus reach out to people that are marginalized and bring them in, that Jesus was always pushing against religious posturing, that Jesus was always pushing against empire and was always lifting up people that were marginalized, people who needed to be brought into the center. And that's what we are doing as a community.
You can listen back to the conversations with Reverend Hanchey and Christy Gronke in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. And visit Chapelboro for more news as well, including the latest in North Carolina's 2024 gubernatorial race, which will be expensive. Democrat Josh Stein has already announced he's raised about $6 million in the first 6 months of this year, a record for this stage of the cycle. Time is 6:20 here on 97.9 The Hill. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. The All-Star Game is tonight for Major League Baseball, and it's going to be a showcase for a former Tar Heel star. Pitcher Zach Gallen is getting the start for the National League. Gallen's 11-3 with a 3.04 ERA for Arizona this year. He's tied for the Major League lead in wins. He's the third Diamondbacks pitcher to start the All-Star Game, joining Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. Good company there. He's also just the fourth ex-Tar Heel to start an All-Star game at any position, joining Walt Weiss in 1998, Brian Roberts in 2005, and just one other pitcher, Matt Harvey, back in 2013. That game begins tonight at 8 o'clock in Seattle. The AL starter is Garrett Cole of the Yankees. Numerous honors for current Tar Heel athletes this week as well. Congrats to women's lacrosse stars Darcy Felter and Kaylee Harden, plus incoming freshmen Chloe Humphrey and Grace Ann Leonard. They were just named to the U.S. Under 20 training team. They'll compete in the USA Lacrosse Fall Classic in October for a spot on the U.S. roster at next year's World Lacrosse Championship in Hong Kong. In the classroom, 9 Tar Heel tennis stars have been named ITA Scholar Athletes, 2 men and 7 women, led by 4-time honoree Elizabeth Scotty and 3-time honorees Fiona Crawley and Sarah McClure. The women also collectively earned ITA all-academic status as a team as well. Speaking of tennis, a welcome back to former Tar Heel Robert Kelly, a 3-time All-American from 2015 to 2018. He has just rejoined the men's team as an assistant coach. And the schedule is out for UNC men's soccer as they gear up for the 2023 campaign. Their season opens August 24th with a home match against Loyola Maryland. Other non-conference home matches include American, UNCW, Elon, Florida Gulf Coast, and William & Mary before their ACC home opener September 15th against Notre Dame. Conference highlights include a home match against Duke on September 23rd and a home match against defending national champ Syracuse on October 6th. You can head to UNC Athletics website, goheels.com, to get a link to the full schedule.